small group. Get together with your family. If your family has had a lot of struggles and aren't encouraging, then really start to build a family in the community. And, you know, the Rock Church is a great place. I'll plug them again. I started there maybe.
And you're going to, I got to plug this real quick. You're going to have your own show, right? You're going to take it on the task?
Okay.
Okay. Down to Earth Talk presents Dr. Kono. He'll explore more. Come back. You got to come back and listen in order to hear more about that. But thank you, Dr. Kono. And I didn't mean to interrupt you. Rock Church, World Outreach Center.
Amen.
And John, Sam.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Frida, Richard. Thank you for coming. Happy Mother's Day. 1, 2, 3.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM. The station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Chris Earl Phillips. For this afternoon, sunny and a high of 93. Tonight, mostly clear, low 61. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 85. Then tomorrow night, increasing clouds, low of 57. Heading into the work week on Monday with mostly cloudy skies, gradually becoming sunny and a high of 78. Monday night, patchy drizzle, patchy fog after 11. Otherwise, increasing clouds, low of 55. On Tuesday, patchy drizzle, patchy fog before 11. Otherwise cloudy, gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high of 71. That's your weather forecast for this hour from a station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
This is the KCAA Community Calendar. Join us for the 29th Annual Redlands Symphony Gala, Saturday, June the 7th at 5:30 p.m. at the Orton Center on the University of Redlands campus. Enjoy cocktails, dinner, silent and live auctions, and the seventh year of Redlands' very own Dancing with the Stars. It'll be a magical evening you won't want to miss. That's the 29th Annual Redlands Symphony Gala, Saturday, June 7th at 5:30 p.m. at the Orton Center on the University of Redlands campus. For more information, you can call 909-748-8018 or you can visit online at aboutredlands.com. And that's your KCAA Community Calendar.
Welcome to Isla Earth. Deep in a Borneo rainforest, a mysterious cat-like creature pads across the jungle floor. It has dark red fur, a bushy tail, and could be the first new carnivore discovered there in more than 100 years. Aside from that, little is known about it, because scientists have to catch one first. So far, biologists with the World Wildlife Fund have caught only two images of the animal using what are called camera traps. These are motion-trigger cameras placed throughout Indonesia's Kayan Mentarung National Park. Some biologists think the images look like a type of lemur, but nothing can be confirmed until one is actually caught. The park contains the largest unbroken stretch of protected rainforest in Indonesia, so it's a major refuge for rare and endemic species. Just since 1994, researchers have discovered more than 360 new species, mostly plants and insects. But it's possible that more undiscovered mammals live there, as the images of the mystery creature show. Like most of the world's rainforests, some areas adjacent to the park are threatened by encroaching development. But for now, within the park's safe haven, surprises still await science. Learn more at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is recorded on the campus of California State University, San Bernardino, and produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy, because Earth is an island.
I'm Mike Hester, and I'm running for district attorney because the people of Riverside County deserve better. We need a district attorney who puts public safety first and acts with integrity at all times. I will push back against Sacramento and fight to end the early release of felons from our jails. I'm Mike Hestern, and I'm supported by cops, deputies, and prosecutors, not because they expect something from me, but because they know the current DA is a failure and that we can and must do better. Vote Mike Hestern for district attorney.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mike Hestern for district attorney, 2014.
Save this date, Saturday, May 31st, for a free senior fair open house at the Valley's Adult Daycare in San Jacinto. There will be food, prizes, vendors, and community information at this end-of-the-month event beginning at 10 in the morning. The Valley's Adult Daycare provides non-medical supervision Monday through Fridays and is located on South State Street in San Jacinto. That's a free senior fair at the Valley's Adult Daycare in San Jacinto.
call 909-660-2278 for more information. That's 909-660-2278.
Hi, this is Bob with Real Estate Talk with Bob and Randy. Tune in every Thursday afternoon from 3 until 4 at KCAA Radio 1050, and we will be there to answer your real estate questions, the latest real estate news, and to talk to the leaders of the real estate industry. Our Real Estate Talk, you can find out how to stop your foreclosure, first-time homebuyer information, loan modifications, different kinds of loans you can buy with, short sale strategies, and real estate investing and more. So don't forget, tune in every Thursday afternoon at 3 for Real Estate Talk with Bob and Randy. You'll be glad you did.
Real talk for real people. Right here in the Inland Empire. We are 1050 AM KCAA.
Well, it's Saturday afternoon, the 17th of May. Actually, it's Armed Forces Day today. And this is G.R. Mobley on the Parchment microphone at the Constitutional Radio Show, and I'm filling in for Doug while he is out attending the first annual Unite, i.e. Conservative Conference with Dinesh D'Souza, Ann Coulter, and many other speakers and guests. Hopefully that becomes a very positive event, and it's not just a first annual, but it really becomes an annual event. Before I get started, last time I did not get a chance to let people know how they can get in contact with me or find out where to buy my books. And you can find me on the internet at Mobius Strip Press, M-O-B-I-U-S, Strip, S-T-R-I-P-P-R-E-S-S, so there's two S's, two P's, .com. And if you go on my links, you can find out where you can buy them from Amazon and ebooks and so forth. Also, before I get started, I did not take advantage last time of really thanking Doug for giving me the opportunity. And actually, one of the things that really spoke out after meeting Doug and having conversations about the Constitution and working through my first book and getting it published, the fact that Doug actually recognized the solution that I was baking into my first book and moving forward to my second book of convening a convention for Republic Review, or basically auditing the federal government on the contract that the states agreed upon in 1789, which was after the ratification process. And so the owners of this Constitution is the states. We, the people of the citizens of each state, are definitely part owners of this, but the fact that Doug actually kind of started seeing into the contract part and actually recognizing the fact that as a stakeholder, stakeholders have a legal responsibility to ensure that the contract is being abided by and being and those who are executing the contract are in compliance. Well, as you've heard several people and many people today, doesn't matter, even on the liberal side, you'll hear people ranting about the lack of following the Constitution when it comes to either personal rights or whether it comes to corporate cronyism or what have you. There's all sorts of violations that we need to and we can fix. And that solution would be by coalescing the states again through a convention. And again, the convention isn't a convention to rewrite the Constitution. And I know there's a lot of people that have this fear of a constitutional convention of rewriting. But you got to remember when Madison pulled these brilliant people together and when they all coalesced in Philadelphia, it's not like they concocted some idea and then rammed it down everybody's throat. There's no way states are going to ratify and accept anything that's going to be a huge compromise to states' rights and or individual rights and sovereignties. It's hard for me to fathom how we could actually get to a point that would allow the states to literally sell or, you know, abdicate their responsibilities over the citizens of their particular states within the Republic. Anyway, so I am thanking Doug, and I really appreciate his opportunity in letting me come into the show and backfill for him and actually trying to put these ideas out into the airway so people can start slowly digesting this concept of auditing the contract and holding the executor, the delegated authority, accountable in and holding them into compliance. And there's easy ways we can start fixing this. And that, in essence, is the core of my book. And so over the past year, and as a matter of fact, we're coming up on a year of when I first met Doug, we've really gone through a whirlwind of debate and discussion, and it seems like we're more of a brother and kindred than, I would say, of opposing ideas and forces. And so it was very easy for us to start quickly aligning and looking at how we can utilize our resources and start influencing a change to put us back into a constitutional orthodoxy. Let me move forward into the comparison for constitutional and or conservative entertainers in contrast to what Doug does. Doug really does have a focus, and this show, Constitutional Radio, really focuses on how the Constitution is relevant in everything. If you went through the list of all the usurpations and all the violations and all the things, it's just, you know, can they really do that? Can the federal government really do that? Whether it be the IRS, NSA, Benghazi, it's such a long list. Violating the Commerce Clause, violating the separations of powers and so forth. I mean, it's such a long list. One could even go into individual issues such as immigration. Is immigration really a problem, or is the entitlement state the problem? And then the entitlement state in itself is a huge pile of problems, all unconstitutional. Again, if you remember when Madison was president in 1817, and I've said this before on the show, that in 1817, when they tried to bring to Madison a bill that would create the Department of Transportation, Madison said, hey, this is a great thing, and he really wanted to do this. But in his veto, he said, you can't use the General Welfare Clause to justify this. You can't use the Commerce Clause to justify this, the Necessary and Proper Clause to justify it, nor can you use the Supremacy Clause to justify this. So when Madison vetoed that, he basically told Congress that if you want to take on a new role, responsibility, or power, you have to amend the Constitution. And so when you compare Doug to a lot of the conservative entertainers out there, most of them aren't really conservative. And when you hear somebody, and I don't want to mention any names. I may mention a name or two, but when you hear conservative entertainers, who whether they be on TV, whether they be on the radio, internet, or what have you, when you hear them say, well, now that they've passed this Obamacare, Republicans have to go and, you know, either present their own plan of how we're going to nationalize health care or what have you, that's not a constitutional conservative ideology or mind model. A true mind model is, well, the Constitution doesn't give us this power. If we really want to do this, we have to amend the Constitution and follow the Article 5 process. And so if you compare and contrast and listen to, you can start, I think, differentiating between who are really conservatives and who are really more in line, or I should say, doing the status quo or the parroting for the Republican or the Democratic Party. They all seem to be very well within a progressive mind frame of taking on liberties and taking away from you your choices and your opportunities. Obamacare is definitely going to be moving in that direction, where we're going to lose more and more doctors, more and more access to health care. And as they move towards the single-payer system, there's no doubt that the single-payer system is designed to collapse. We will have less doctors, less hospitals. And when you look at what happened in Britain, and in every case where they've gone to a single-payer system, it has always gotten worse, because there is no competition anymore. You are paying the one entity, and that same entity is providing you a service. And so it's monopolizing an industry that used to be the best in the world, and it still is, and we have time to fix it. If you really want to fix this and move forward, you can start working with your neighbors, those at the Tea Party, or if you're associated to the John Birch Society, you can start having a dialogue of setting up a post that I talk about in my book, that what you want to do is kind of organize yourself and start holding your local representatives accountable. If you read the second book, there's a part where one would think I have an affinity towards Glenn Beck, and I really don't. The fact of the matter is, when you look at what Glenn Beck possesses in his resources, in his tool bag, he has a huge presence with internet news, satellite radio news, television, and so forth. So he has a ready-made machine that can provide content and relative intelligence for the Republic that could actually provide a command and control, which I talk about in the back end of my book. On the front end, I really talk more about the ground battle of how to go out and really just confronting those people who are representing you. And the mind behind that is – or my mind model behind that is – if you think about it, that person represents thousands of people, whoever that is, whether it's the sheriff, the water board commissioner, or whoever's sitting on the water board, city council, mayor, what have you. It's not just one person writing a petition. It's a person that represents lots of people that are writing a petition to the state legislatures to call them to convene a convention to audit the contract, or for a Republic review, as I call it. Anywho, if one wants to stop the social programs, and if one really wants to turn around this nation, we're going to have to go down this path of austerity. We're already starting to head down this path of austerity. There are lots of people that are having a hard time getting jobs, millennials, as businesses start moving away, those people that are trying to enter into the workforce are finding themselves having to get more education and then finding out that they're either too educated or they don't necessarily have the experience or what have you to actually compete for jobs. And so it's getting tighter and tighter. And as we regulate more and more, we actually find ourselves in a less and less available workspace. And so if we want to change those, we have to open up the free market and we have to start shutting down the indolence, or I would say the social programs, of giving people what they think they're entitled to. Because I was never brought up that I was entitled to take something from somebody else. And I ask you to consider this. If you've worked all your life and you've developed wealth and you've obtained things, it's got to be immoral for somebody to come in and say, you don't deserve that because these people over here don't have that. That, in essence, is theft. And when you use government to take those things or to take your wealth or to take your income in feeding other people, it's one thing to give of oneself in charity. And, you know, the Christian faith actually teaches us to do that. But the Christian faith does not teach us that it's okay to be compelled. You should be able to reach into your wallet and be able to grab what you want to give. And if you can give all, some people have those kinds of hearts. And I believe Americans have those kinds of hearts, that they can really help those people who really need it. But it's pathetic when you find that there's the majority of the people on social programs that are finding themselves capable of doing work, but they just refuse to because the barrier to move towards productivity is just too much effort for them. And it's just too easy to remain into the welfare or the indolent state or what have you. As we continue to increase unemployment benefits, as we continue to increase the food stamp rolls, and we continue to increase all these different social programs and handouts, there's no end to this. It's one thing if there was a design or an end in place, but there's not. There's no process to get people – you have to hold them accountable. To get people to actually become self-reliant, you have to hold them accountable. And so it was a very effective process when local community and church leaders would come in to meet with those who needed help and assistance to determine what level of help and assistance they needed. Then the compassion could truly flow, and those people were accountable. They learned their trade. They helped out in other ways in earning or helping learning a skill, and ending up becoming self-sufficient. And so if the process is to help people become self-reliant, our social programs are not designed to do that. Our social programs are literally designed to keep people from contributing to society and becoming a productive member. And I myself find that as an immoral fact. And there's easy ways to fix this. And one of the easiest ways to fix this is moving this towards the state level and pushing this back to the republic and the local communities. However, I digress because it's time for us to recognize all those who are paying for this hour. And I think we need to go into a commercial break. So I'm going to turn it back to the original Joe here. And let me know when we're ready to come back. Thanks, Joe.
KCAA.
What's your constitutional IQ? Your quest to learn the Constitution can be fun for the whole family. Learn about the Constitution as you play the Constitution Quest board game. Learn more at ConstitutionQuest.com.
Hey, this is Doug from Constitution Radio. How do you feel about the economy right now? Are you concerned about the United States being over $17 trillion in debt? How do you think it will affect you? What are you doing to protect your assets? Some people have found a way to capitalize on these conditions and receive an early retirement, regardless of their age. Sound interesting? Call 909-657-0091 and ask for Bob. That's 909-657-0091 for your chance at an early retirement.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Tired of the lies? Come here for the truth. Douglas V. Gibbs on KCAA 1050 AM.
The true patriots of All-Star Collision have been proudly serving the Inland Empire for over 20 years. Built on honesty, integrity, quality, and old-fashioned customer service, we offer lifetime warranties for our work, and every vehicle serviced by All-Star Collision is washed, detailed, the headlights polished, fluids are checked and topped off, safety checked, and returned in showroom condition. We offer free estimates, are approved by major insurance companies, and accept all claims for all cars and trucks. We use computerized frame straightening to factory specifications, offer fiberglass body repair and paint, free local pickup and delivery, and after-hours towing. Mention this radio program at drop-off and receive $100 off or a free rental car for up to 5 days during your repair. Visit us at allstarci.com or at 522 Railroad Street in Corona. Call us at 951-279-9161. We are the kings of rec and roll.
Miss something today, yesterday, last week? Check out our podcasts at www.kcaaradio.com. AM 1050 KCAA. We leave no listener behind.
Okay, we are back, and I'm ready to do some more ranting. If I remember correctly, and the Joe in the booth has told me that you were just ranting on social programs, and he was talking about the parents and pointing out how there's so many parents that seem to just be taking and placing this burden or the onus upon their own children. And I'm not sure if they can fathom and they understand it, because I believe that they bought into this idea that they're entitled. And so I wonder at what point, and I hopefully it's soon, that these parents start recognizing the fact that they are basically consigning their children to enslavement. Because when debt gets so high, when our national debt gets to such a point, because if you look at our unfunded liabilities, if you look at where the majority of the money is going, those social programs are three-fourths of what we spend in our current budget is unconstitutional and social spending. And if you read my book, you can actually get into why those things are unconstitutional, because they never amended the Constitution for those roles, responsibilities, or powers. Now, let me make this clear. I am not advocating that we actually revolt. The process that the framers gave us was the republic, and the republic being able to coalesce and hold accountable in this contract. It's basic contract law. But moving back to this indolence and the parents, I think at what point will they actually bear maybe the shame in placing such a burden and destroying such a great opportunity that they had? And I think of the other parents that take on two jobs just so they can send their children to school and make sure that they have a better education with college and so forth so that they don't have to sacrifice for their children. And hopefully – and actually those are the parents that are instilling that – quality education and that quality preparation that all children need to become productive members of society. On the flip side, I'm wondering at what point the kids are going to be so upset at what their parents have done when there's no longer the cash cow to feed the next or the third or the fifth or the seventh generation of welfare as it goes. And this isn't necessarily a racial issue. This is a systemic cultural problem in America. And I don't mean cultural as in ethnic, race, and those types of cultural. It is our culture, and it is what our politicians have basically hooked too many good Americans into believing, oh, you know what? It's okay. You're down on your luck. We're going to put you on this. And then it makes it impossible for you to get off. I remember there's been several cases, and just lately in the news, there was a lady in Ohio. She needed to go to work and make $80,000 a year just to come to an even keel to what she was receiving through all the different benefit programs. And again, that's immoral. But at what point are the kids today going to start waking up and saying, hey, shouldn't you be working? Or better yet, really have a resentment towards their parents and the future generations that led ahead of them that created this system and now has taken away their liberties and has taken away their opportunities that we all squandered. It's time to start acting now. And I believe that the youth are actually getting to that point. Millennials are finally waking up when they realize that the jobs just aren't going to be there unless we open up the free market and we start opening up all the opportunities and getting away from the social sciences and the social engineering. And instead of the equality of pay, the equal opportunity of access to making pay and to earn your merit on what is due. The time has come when we all start actually getting an honest day's wage for an honest day's work. There are many ways, and like I said, I do not want to advocate that we actually pick up guns and revolt, but there's many misguided ways that we can actually push defiance or resistance against the government. And I call them misguided because they're ineffective. The empirical data has proven very few times have we actually been able to successfully put a resistance up to where we've made changes and have amended the Constitution, such as the Civil Rights Act. If you look at some of these things like the Occupy, the 9/12, or the marches in D.C., such as the Obamacare, the stop of the IRS heavy-handed tactics marches that some of these conservative entertainers have called and rallied for, how has that helped? It doesn't help. And as a matter of fact, everybody that spends all this money and takes all this effort, we've never gained anything. As a matter of fact, the only time we've actually gained things is when actually we haven't gained. The federal government gains because they believe they're responding and they take more controls and take more liberties. And so some of those things might be these social programs. People start marching on D.C. and they seem to be sympathetic towards, you know, in expanding or innovating on these social programs. And so if you look at how we constantly have grabbed liberties, and it doesn't matter whether it's on the Democratic or the Republican side, social programs for the Democratic, more rigorous controls. I mean, I don't think that there's a Republican that doesn't want to see somebody manage control or have overall powers, such as McCain's defense bill, where they can start detaining Americans for an indefinite amount of time. It's almost like suspending habeas corpus. And Lincoln did that. And that was a violation of the Constitution. And I can't believe that we keep on reelecting these people like Harry Reid. And the fact that if you look at how much money he poured into his campaign, it's not like his constituents put him in. And he wants to actually silence, just this week, Harry Reid wants to silence corporations and groups and PACs and so forth from contributing when he was a benefactor of all sorts of money going across his state line when he's supposed to be representing his state. And now he's beholden to all of these PACs that he received and the donors that they get that actually, you know, filter across these state lines. It's just hypocrisy. And I'm hoping Nevada and the rest of the states are learning their lesson that you better make sure that your senators that are going to Washington to represent you are actually representing you. But we have to stop using these, I want to call them, misguided attempts of defiance. What we need to do is start marching and protesting at your capital steps of your states. California, it's Sacramento. Washington State, it's Olympia. Get down there and start telling your legislatures to protect you from this federal tyranny. There's no reason why you have to take this. And as a matter of fact, the one entity that has far more power than your march on D.C. or any contribution are your legislatures, and that's why you need to start purging through them. And so when you really look at the solutions, and like I started off talking about how Doug kind of after we debated and we say we argued and pulled and tugged and so forth, I think he actually saw the merit that, and he admits that the Constitution is a contract. He teaches that this is a contract between the states, and it only makes sense that within a contract that you start applying compliance and ensuring that those who are executing the contract are complying with the standards that you've placed in that and not taking upon themselves the ability to do whatever they want to do. So obviously the only solution that we have is moving into a convention if you really want to peel back, if you want to save this nation from going into a capitulation of debt and powers and tyranny and so forth. The only process that we have available to us that's constitutional. And I say this because if you read the Federalist Papers, if you read the ratification debates, clearly the states had all the power, and it doesn't even have to be specified. All powers were reserved to the states. If the states decide to say, you know what, we're going to hold this audit and we're going to go line by line through everything that you're doing and saying, you know what, we don't see that enumerated in the Constitution, and we're not going to let you do that. Now, I am highly recommending that this coalition or these delegates, as they meet from their own states, because there's no reason why this can't be done online, as they meet and interface with one another, they start looking at some of the good things that is being that the federal government is doing and saying, do we want to continue doing that? Do we still need a Department of Transportation? Yeah. Maybe we don't need the federal government to do it. Maybe we can create a new federal polity that's of domestic affairs or what have you. The Republic has all sorts of avenues, and I get into that into my third book, Reclaiming the Republic. Let me go into these posts, though, because a lot of people want to know, well, how can I do something? How can I get involved and get active? Well, Doug, with his Constitutional Association, which meets on the first Saturday of every month, and if you go to his websites, you can find out where and who's speaking and so forth. If you go to Political Pistachio, you can find out how to start interfacing with these posts and how can you start getting some assistance. What you need to do is identify all of your local representatives, your mayors, your city councilmen, your utility boards, people who are elected and are appointed, all people who raise their arm to the square and take the oath that they will defend and protect the Constitution, because all oaths start off with that. And hold them accountable to that. And In my second book, The Strategy to Convene, We the People, The Strategy to Convene a Convention for Republic Review, at the very back end, I have appendixes. One is a statement of fact. Appendix B is a list of all the founding documents that clearly point out these powers are held within the states, from the Federalist Papers to the ratification debates and other articles, such as the Kentucky and Virginia Resolutions of 1798. But the third appendix, Appendix C, are actual petitions that you would get your local representatives and even your state legislatures to start signing. And what you want to do is start pressuring your state legislatures to start chairing the discussion, start getting it out there so that people can start discussing in the floor of the legislatures of all these different states. And oh, guess what? Here's the secret. 34 states are already so fed up that they've already petitioned for a convention to amend an Article 5 convention. Now, if these states actually had the epiphany or got this idea that I've presented and said, you know what, we don't need to amend the Constitution, we can kind of undo all the unconstitutional stuff that isn't serving us and realign some of these things that we believe really can serve us and move the constitutional republic into the 21st century. If anybody's familiar with Madison's writings, he didn't believe that the Constitutional Republic would survive 100 years, let alone 50, because the vast differences between the needs of the states and understanding republicanism and the republic, it's just amazing that we've survived this long. And in some ways, we've only survived this long because of the machinations of very nefarious men. So in these posts, getting back to that, how do you do this? In these posts, you can start meeting and coalescing with people that are like-minded. You can connect with people via the Oath Keepers Organization, Tea Party, the John Birch Society, and you can actually start going out and recruiting other like-minded people that have a reverence towards the Constitution and individual liberties. A lot of those types of places that you can solicit would be the church parking lots in your local community. I'd highly recommend you talk to the way leader, the priest, the minister, or whoever is leading the Christian organizations and the churches in your local community. But tell them, hey, we're going to be putting these flyers out, because one of the things that the Post can do is start feeding people so that they can start learning the content of, like what Doug teaches in his constitutional class. They can learn the content of that class and start understanding the Constitution and start learning and understanding where the state really does have the power and the ability to take control over all things that aren't enumerated in the Constitution as it was designed. Another thing that is important as far as the post, and once you start organizing, is you want to make sure that you start getting out. After you've identified all these different seats, you want to create a list of these seats, create a list of the opponents, the former opponents, and so forth, and make sure that these who are either in the seats or competing for those seats are all online with protecting us from federal tyranny so that they can actually start pulling in the state legislatures by signing petitions and getting these out there. If an individual doesn't sign the petition and is running for office or is in office, then I think the best thing that they can do is have to defend themselves and defend their position as to why they don't believe that they need to defend the Constitution and allow this federal tyranny and this reckless spending to destroy our liberties and freedom and our constitutional republic. I think almost all people are reasonable. I would probably say it would be a fair stretch to think 90% of Americans are reasonable people, and reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And so when you start having these conversations, and if you hand them the Appendix B, and eventually I'll have it up on my website, if you start looking, I'll actually start putting some references. So you can download PDFs of all these documents, actually put them and burn them on a cheap CD, hand them to these people that are running and say, read these documents and tell me you don't have a responsibility to protect us and defend us, and the only way is to convene this convention. And so having these dialogues with your local representatives, the epiphanies will start occurring and people will start realizing that we need to start moving forward. And this will create a snowball effect of educating not only the local representatives, but it'll start actually educating the electorate. A lot of people want me to, you know, try to focus on the electorate first, but we don't have time. It would take – it took Moses 40 years to change the culture of Israel to go into the Holy Land. And it was pointed out to me by another wise man that to change our culture will take a long time. We don't have that much time. But we do have time to change the culture of our leadership. And so if we actually go after these leaders of the local communities, then we'll actually find ourselves – in a much better place, because they're representing thousands, tens of thousands, maybe even 100,000 people if they're a large city mayor. And that voice going to the legislatures is far more powerful than, you know, G.R. Mobley from his small little residence in his little corner here in the little USA. We need to go to another commercial break, I believe. I think the original Joe was giving me a finger. I don't know which finger that was. But when we come back, I wanted to have this dialogue kind of continue. We'll have Jasmius on the line, and maybe we can talk about how we can start effectively establishing posts in the state of Washington and all these other states within the republic. Okay, Joe, it's all up to you.
KCAA.
With the rise of fiat currency and collapsing currencies, a safe haven asset is out there. For the last 5,000 years, gold has been your best insurance to empower yourself and your future. You can acquire embedded gold cards that can enable you to use gold as an investment in everyday trade transactions or as an insurance for the future. Gold is the oldest, most reliable, and unchangeable payment method in the history of the world. The opportunity is incredible because gold is real money and currency is not. Gold will survive when currency cannot. Learn more by going to $1.com. That's $1, S-E-N-S-E, the number $1.com, and contacting your local team member at 909-657-0091 so that you can learn how to become a partner and have the opportunity to get your gold for free. Visit $1.com and call your local team member today at 909-657-0091 so that you may become a partner.
The true patriots of All-Star Collision have been proudly serving the Inland Empire for over 20 years. Built on honesty, integrity, quality, and old-fashioned customer service, we offer lifetime warranties for our work, and every vehicle serviced by All-Star Collision is washed, detailed, the headlights polished, fluids are checked and topped off, safety checked, and returned in showroom condition. We offer free estimates, are approved by major insurance companies, and accept all claims for all cars and trucks. We use computerized frame straightening to factory specifications, offer fiberglass body repair and paint, free local pickup and delivery, and after-hours towing. Mention this radio program at drop-off and receive $100 off or a free rental car for up to 5 days during your repair. Visit us at allstarci.com or at 522 Railroad Street in Corona. Call us at 951-279-9161. We are the kings of wreck and roll.
Hey, do you know about the USA? Do you know about the government? Can you tell me about the Constitution? Hey, learn about the USA.
The Constitution is the instruction booklet for taking back the country. Douglas V. Gibbs on KCAA 1050 AM.
In 1787, I'm told, our founding fathers did agree to write a list of principles for keeping people free. The USA was just starting out, a whole brand new country. So our people spelled it out, the things that we should be.
The Murrieta Temecula Republican Assembly is the largest chapter of the California Republican Assembly. The MTRA meets the first Friday of every month at 6 p.m. at the Temecula City Hall Conference Center, 41,000 Main Street, Temecula, California. Learn more at mt-ra.com. We are the conscience of the Republican Party.
KCAA Radio, AM 1050. Hey, tell a friend, AM 1050.
Okay, so we are back at the parchment microphone on Constitution Radio, and I believe we had Doug call in, but it's hard to get a word in edgewise on his own show when he's out, I think, rubbing elbows with high-level conservatives. Maybe he'll call back. Is that it, Joe? So Joe's giving me the nod. Anyway, we should have Jasmius out there, and hopefully we can maybe have some dialogue and what the challenges might be for remote posts to start connecting and getting content and getting organized and start going through the political process at the local level. You out there, Jasmius?
Moblesan! Konnichiwa!
So, with the Seahawk hat, I see. Yes, you're
always
out there. Well, I'm not
always. I'm going to be buried in this.
You know what? With
some would say I already have been.
With the changes that have been going through professional sports, I've been an avid Seahawk, Mariner, Sonic, and is actually I go back to the Pilots. I remember going to a Pilots game. So,
you mean the Thunder, don't you?
No. The Seattle Pilots before the Mariners back in
no,
the.
No, I mean the Seattle. I mean the Oklahoma City Thunder, which used to be the Seattle Supersonics.
Oh yeah. Correct. That's right. They did move. And
we did. They even took the Space Needle too, but I think they had to bring it back once we won the Super Bowl.
I thought they had to keep it up there just in case they needed to stitch up the sound.
Oh, well, now we're getting into that Geico commercial
where the gecko
was making all those horrible puns about how do you stitch up the sound with the Space Needle?
There you go. Anywho, I'm not sure if you had a chance to do any, reading or homework, not that I gave you any.
hint, nudge, wink.
Actually,
I did. I was skimming through the PDF. That was cool. I didn't know if you had it on PDF.
I did.
That was very. It saved you some postage. I know that much.
Oh, definitely. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that I tried to do at the very beginning of the release of each book is I would put it out so that people, if they wanted to buy a much cheaper copy, could get the PDF. It's not as adjustable as an e-reader, but the books are out in multiple different markets, from the Apple space and Kindle, and even out in the Sony Reader or Kobo. And you can see all the places that you can buy it from on my website. But anywho,
I have an e-reader. It's called my computer.
Oh, there you go. And
I can't really put it in my pocket. But
it's far more adjustable than the actual Kindle and the little pads and so forth, as far as the page layout and so forth.
Anyway, it's actually working.
So how can we start getting posts organized and getting people motivated to getting out and taking this country back and starting at the grassroots, or what I want to say is their back door, going to their local representation, their sheriffs, those people who are sworn into office, and start pointing out that these people are accountable to their oaths in protecting and defending us and the Constitution, especially from federal tyranny. And so what do we need to do?
Well, I can tell you about the state of Washington, which is that you would have to bisect it and then the eastern half, make it its own state, and then you would have the 30th state as far as setting up a convention for a republic review. As far as what Washington is, probably not all that likely. It'd be very difficult to do because this state is bluer. Oh, bluer than Harry Reid's lips. So it'd be awfully difficult to do, but not that. And this is always going to be difficult to do.
So if you go to Statescape's representation, I believe you only need to convert five representatives to to align. And as a matter of fact, let me point out, when you look at Statescape, it only differentiates between Republican and Democrat. Most people don't realize that there are Democrats that are friends of liberty. They're called blue-collar Democrats, and they believe in the individual liberty.
Blue dogs.
Yeah, blue dogs, blue lips, whatever.
most of whom voted for Obamacare a few years ago.
I understand, but I think that most of them, like I point this out in my book, I think that the marketing is being done to push or to help progress this convention for an audit or republic review. Because of the heavy-handed tactics, who wants to see a police force going out and silencing free speech, such as the IRS? Who wants to see everybody's data and analysis on all this collection, whether it be corporate or whether it be the federal government doing it? I think the marketing is being done, and people are starting to recognize, you know what, this is pretty scary stuff, regardless of what side of the party or aisle you align with. If we don't address this now, we will rue the day.
I think we're already ruing the day. I'm more pessimistic about that than you may think you're pessimistic about that. I'm even more pessimistic. I think we've crossed. You know that metaphor that Doug uses about how we're headed toward the falls.
Uh-huh.
And we got to turn around and start. And there's the clock tower. Doug, we passed the clock tower. We're going out past 55. We'll never make it. Well, I'm of the opinion that we've already passed the point of no return.
I believe that there are 34 states that can start coalescing into a convention.
So.
I believe that they're there. It's just a matter of recognizing. And let's say we're not rewriting. It's not about let's say. This is not a rewriting nor an amending. This is, holding to compliance and saying, sorry, we never gave you those powers. That does not mean that the states can't take the money that is coming out of their pockets for welfare and turn that right back into their own welfare system. They can continue this indolent state and watch how they will lose the – once it goes into a competitive market, people that want to work, gain wealth, and get ahead will quickly flee those states and actually be able to go to other states and live a free life.
Like California is being depopulated.
Absolutely.
In fact, Sean Hannity this week finally announced he's leaving New York. I don't know what it took him so long. But the question has been, well, is he going to go to Florida or is he going to go to Texas?
So I promised not to mention names earlier, but I did mention Glenn Beck's name just due to his resources and capabilities.
I read that. Yeah.
But I can't understand, other than the fact that it is absolutely the market space for all these conservative entertainers. They want to be in New York. They want to be in D.C. They want to be in big hubs because they have a huge market. And as long as they keep the focus on the national stage, they can be relevant to everybody. But as soon as they actually start dealing with the issues of the republic, of what's important here, what's important there, it's hard to stay relevant. And so, anywho, I have a caller on the phone I guess it's probably one of Doug's fans that probably wants to talk about has a constitutional question. Do you have a second, Jasmine, to take a question?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead, caller.
Well, actually, this is Doug.
Oh.
I guess you could say it's one of Doug's fans.
He said he was going to do – he has a habit of doing this right at 52 minutes past the hour.
Well, I actually called before the last break, and I was on the – listening for a while. And Mobley was doing such a good job, I didn't want to interrupt him. But, now that you're letting me interrupt, then that works.
You can interrupt your own show, Doug, so –
I have to be careful because
– Well, our show.
I have – go ahead, Doug.
Well, I was going to say this. Dinesh D'Souza has a copy of my book, and Coulter actually has two copies of my book. Both my mom and Alex gave her a copy. And in the case of my mom, she actually asked her, do you want a copy of my book? And she explained what it was. And Ann said, oh, absolutely. And so mom comes running to me. Hurry up. Give me a copy of your book. Sign it to Ann. So
in other words, you're having a really good day, is what it amounts to.
Oh yeah, we sold quite a few books. But I wanted to call in just to say thank you, you guys, for what you're doing. Oh, by the way, I didn't get the chance to see it happen, but from what I understand, when Alex got to meet Ann Coulter, it was a magical moment.
Thank you for reporting that. I was very concerned.
I hope it's up on YouTube tonight.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, he's been giddy like a schoolgirl for the last 3 weeks.
Well, that's right? Good.
That. But anyway, so are we going through stories? Or are we talking about a particular topic? Where are we at?
Well, we were talking, and Jasmus was trying to do his Pacific Northwest rain on my optimism with the fact that he just thinks we've tripped over the precipice and are rolling down the abyss of no return. And I truly believe that the heartland is what will save America. I believe if you really look, you'll find the 31 states, or actually the 34 states that, and there's really, keep in mind, folks, that there's no requirement for 34 states to audit. You can actually move forward with a 25 states, 26 states. It would be nice to keep the 34 to have the 2/3 to pull forward and say, you know what, we need to audit this this contract that we own, that we're in control of.
Well, we have to remember too that even if it was an Article 5, you know, and of course, I hope you explain there is a difference between an Article 5 extension to CONCON and
at the very beginning, after I told people how much I appreciated the fact of working with you and giving me this opportunity, and how we kind of taffied and rolled and pulled and tugged and finally kind of coalesced on the idea that if we're going to do it without a major revolution or loss of lives or without a huge road of austerity, this is the only way.
Well, and the thing is, when it comes to an Article 5, 49 of the 50 states have applied with over 750 applications.
Correct.
That said, I also remind everybody, 26 states sued the federal government over Obamacare. If you can get 26 states to sue over Obamacare, you can get at least 26, which is a majority of the states.
Oh, sure.
To get together in a convention to audit the federal government.
Well, I point that out in my book, that there are 29 states that already have a Republican majority in the legislatures, and that there's, I think, 9 or 10 states that are very close to, you know, just less than a 2-digit swing one way or the other in the legislatures, and they have a majority. But I also pointed out that those blue lip or blue collar, blue dog Democrats can actually, you know.
No, not blue lip.
Okay, so they actually can get out and recognize.
That's Harry Reid.
Yeah, okay. But I think those blue dogs can recognize these real threats and actually step forward for their citizens and protect them from the federal tyranny, because that's a responsibility of the state legislatures. It shouldn't have anything to do with the national program.
And here's the thing, too, folks. You want to know more, go to Mobius Press, MobiusStripPress.com, Mobius Strip Press. Yeah, have you been plugging your site?
I did it at the very beginning, and as a matter of fact, I told Jasmine we needed to plug his stuff at the very beginning because we're going to run out of time again.
Yeah, well, I'm going to let you guys go so you can wrap up the show, but it sounds like everything is being handled wonderfully. I thank both of you gentlemen because you are both true professionals, and I will give you, the listeners, full report on what happened today at this event next Saturday when I'm there, and our guest will be Paul Hanisch, who is running for Congress in the for Congress here in Southern California. So we'll have him on next Saturday.
And I'll have a question for him.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Doug. So, Jasmus, before we run out of time, before we move on to anything else, why don't you plug your sites?
Well, I blog at politicalpistachio.com, and I have this little podcast called the Hard Starboard Radio Network that airs at blogtalkradio.com/HSR Network every Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, and again, I would just reiterate that you can get all the information on my publications, the status on my third book, which is literally the final portion of this trilogy, which is Reclaiming the Republic, and it will cover, now that we've got the states to coalesce, what do we do? What's the quorum, and how do we do that technically to do this online. Having a little bit of a systems engineering background, I can provide a little bit of meat for people to go, you know what, it's not going to be that expensive and we can actually do this. I guess we may have time for maybe a really hot topic. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about those smidgens showing up on the IRS.
Yeah, we can cram that into 30 seconds.
Okay,
sure.
There we go.
Well, let's just say that it's another smoking gun. Judicial Watch has struck again.
Tom Fitton is the greatest. I mean, that guy, you know, he called out Cheney. He calls out any corruption. And right now, D.C. is what other people call Mordor on the Potomac. It is that.
Oh, I the version I heard was Gomorrah on the Potomac, but that works just as well.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if there's going to be a second House Select Committee.
Well, it was great working with you. I apologize for going long again. I just sometimes don't realize just how many words it takes per second.
Yeah, well, don't talk too fast. Nobody be able to understand you.
That's right. Well, we'll work again together, and we'll stay in touch. Thank you again for joining us on the Constitutional Radio, and we hope you have a blessed weekend on the Armed Forces Day that hopefully we're all recognizing. Talk to you later.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Chris Earl Phillips. For this afternoon, sunny and a high of 93. Tonight, mostly clear, low 61. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 85. Then tomorrow night, increasing clouds, low of 57. Heading into the work week on Monday with mostly cloudy skies, gradually becoming sunny and a high of 78. Monday night, patchy drizzle, patchy fog after 11. Otherwise, increasing clouds, low of 55. On Tuesday, patchy drizzle, patchy fog before 11. Otherwise cloudy, gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high of 71. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
This is Dick from Carpet Masters. Carpet Masters has been serving the Inland Empire for over 55 years. Carpet Masters uses extraction cleaning for your carpet because there's no better cleaning to remove the soil from your carpet. All of our furniture cleaning is done by hand in your home or in our plant. Carpet Masters also offers dry cleaning for fine furniture. Call Carpet Masters at 793-7215. That's 793-7215 for Carpet Masters.
Anyone who works full-time ought not live in poverty, period. Raising the minimum wage above the poverty level is not a question of economics, even though it would be a big plus for our economy, but a question of morality. Who are we as a people, a nation, especially in the richest nation in the world, if we dishonor the work ethic with a wholly unethical wage floor? It's disgraceful. Which is why 3 out of 4 Americans support raising the floor, including a majority of Republicans. Yet, the wage stays stuck at the unconscionable level of $7.25 an hour because Republicans